About it. Go on airplay mode. Perfect. Okay, good morning, everyone. And welcome to our Gemara Megillah-seum. A few thank yous are in order. I want to thank the organizers, and if I miss any names at any point, like just yell it out because I wasn't misadder everything the best way, and I want to make sure everyone gets proper acknowledgement. I have down for our organizers, of course, our chef extraordinaire Mitchell Bell. I'm getting there. So we have Marina and Alex, who also worked on the logistics of ensuring this. And of course, we have Phyllis Shapiro for her extraordinary blitz that we are all enjoying. And all of you who came in last moment and helped shuttle everything over to where we are eating right now. So thank you, everyone. And also want to acknowledge our sponsors. I know Mitchell and Gail are helping sponsor, as well as John Rhonda Love in memory of Rhonda's father, Jacob Boltino, Yaakov Ben Chanoch Halevi, for his 12th yard site. And his neshama should have an aliyah, should always be a blessing for you and entire family. Was there anyone else that I missed on there? Okay. And a thank you to my wife and to Talia for
coming.
Yeah. and Talia for just eating and not doing anything else right now. Also, I wanted to acknowledge that today is February 26th, so it's my mom's birthday. So I'll just we'll let her know that this is also partially in honor of her birthday today. We'll let her know post facto, right? Okay, so here we go, guys. We find ourselves on the final Amud in Megillah, Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph. And essentially, there's a lot of noteworthy things over here. We're going to be going through the different laws that pertain particularly to how we relate to a Sefer Torah, whether when someone gets an aliyah to the Sefer Torah, how to hold a Sefer Torah, how to roll a Sefer Torah, how we treat Torah learning, a lot of really just great Gemaras, perfect for ending off a Masechta. So here we go, all the way at the top. Three words in. Tana Rabbanan. Oh, so this is a question. So when a gentleman gets an aliyah to the Torah, you'll see sometimes people are, they're not really sure what they're doing. Sometimes they will open the Torah and they'll make the bracha. Sometimes they'll look at it, they'll kiss, then they'll close the Torah. And people kind of just wing it when they go up there. But it's actually a discussion in the Gemara how someone is supposed to get an aliyah. So Tana Rabbanan, Poseach Veroeh Golel Umavarech. So when someone does is they first open up the Torah, the Baal Koreh will show them the place. Golel, then he closes the Torah, recites the blessing, Baruch Hu Es Hashem Avorach, right? V'chozer poseach, and then he reopens the Torah, V'koreh, and then either he reads or in our case nowadays the Baal Koreh reads. Baruch Hu V'koreh. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Poseach v'roeh u'mevareh v'koreh. Rehuda actually says you open it up, you look, but you do not close the Torah. Rather, you just make the blessing and you continue reading. So if you look in the discussion, actually, Halach Lemais in the Shulchan Aruch, it talks about, I think this is what the Ramah passes, if I'm not mistaken, that you're actually supposed to open up the Torah. And you look outside the Torah, and we'll see why you do that in just a moment. One reason not to close the Torah and reopen it is because it'll take the Baal Koreh a few seconds to find the place once more. And remember a while back we did a shir on Tirchut Tzibura, that one's not supposed to waste the congregation's time, right? Rabbis aren't supposed to give 25-minute sermons, right? So it's not just about giving a 25-minute sermon. It's also even just a matter of seconds where people are twiddling their thumbs. That's something that we have to take into account as well. So that's based on how the Gra understands that discussion. Okay, now back into the Gemara. Let's understand the rationale behind this. My time at Rabbi Meir, Kedula, Damar Ula b'nei Ma Amru Hakori b'Torah, Lo Yitzayel M'Torah Gaman, Kedei Shol Yo Amru HaTargum Kosu b'Torah. So what's the reason to close the Torah when you recite the brachos on the Torah? So the reason that's given, perhaps is the same reason why back in the day, they didn't have the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, they didn't have any translations. So we learned about this in the past. They had a guy called a Meturgaman, which as it sounds, he would translate it for the Torah, we said verse by verse. For Haftorah, as we said, every three verses or so. So you're not supposed to show the Meturgamon inside the Torah, because then people will say, oh, the translation must be written inside the Torah, and then people are going to start publishing Sefer Torah with translations in them. Now, that's not an issue for a Chumash, but it's an issue for a kosher Sefer Torah. Not in particular over here. Not for this reasoning. So the same concern exists here. The reason when a gentleman gets an aliyah, he closes the Torah, is that people shouldn't think that the brachos are written in the Torah as well. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can keep the Torah open. There is no concern. Targum iklimite, people might come to think that the translation's written in the Torah, but brachos lake limite, everyone knows that the blessings on the Torah are not written inside the Torah itself. So therefore, there's no concern. You leave the Torah open, but we do paskin lemaisa that if you do leave the Torah open, you should look to the side. Now, some people are looking to the side anyway, just to see what the brachos are, which is on the that little laminated sheet right there. But even if you're not looking at it, if you know it by heart, you look to the side, so it doesn't look like you're reading it from the Torah. So that's actually, Mike Berg got freaked out at me yesterday because I got an Aliyah Mincha, and I was like, kind of just like looking that way, and he's like, hi. Yes, Lloyd.
I got a question.
Yeah.
In here, in your notes, it says that you have to be able to read the Torah to be called up for an aliyah, which is fine. Where does it say that you have to be bar mitzvah?
Well, in general, you need to be a bar chiyuva. You need to be obligated in the mitzvah in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So when you're under bar mitzvah, so then you are not yet obligated in mitzvahs. So that's why. But we actually, many places will let a kid who's under bar mitzvah lay in the haftorah. Though we are, and even lay the maftir and the haftorah, I should say. So, however, we don't do it actually. It's important. This coming week is Parshas Zachor. Since Parshas Zachor, where we recall blotting out the memory of Amalek, that's presumed to be a mitzvah midoraisa, biblical mitzvah. Therefore, we don't let a child read that. But we let haftorah, maftir / haftorah, but not the actual aliyos. So, good observation, Lloyd. Okay. Now, Vrayhuda, targeting limiti, brachos lake limiti. So, Amrei Zera, how do we pass? Amrei of Masna. Halacha poseach varoa, you open it up, you don't close it. Umavari fakore, and you make the blessing and you read. But, footnote, you look to the side. That way, no one thinks you're reading the brachos from the actual Torah. There you go. Why not just say the halacha is in accordance to Rabbi Yehuda? Why do you have to restate the entire position? Mishum de'afkil, who some people, they confused the names. Some said it was Rezeir, some says Rabbi Yehuda. So he spelled out what the halacha was so there'd be no ambiguity. Excellent. End of that section. One little tidbit that gets thrown in here. Va'amar Rezeir, amar Rav Masna. Haluchos vehabimos ein behem mishum kedusha. The luchos and the bimos don't have any sanctity. Wait a minute, what are you telling me? The luchos that Moshe, the tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu came down to from our Sinai don't have any sanctity? It's not talking about those luchos. If you look at Rashi, I don't know how often you see this, Rashi says about luchos, lo yadati mahin. I don't know what they are. How often do you see Rashi say, I don't know what something is? Usually like, if Rashi doesn't know, how are we supposed to know? He has a suggestion, but if you look at Tosus quotes the Aruch. The Aruch tells us, the Aruch is kind of like this whole dictionary of Talmudic terms. The Aruch tells us, Gilyone Sefer Torah Shalamal Shalamata Shal Bein Daf L'Daf. Basically, the margins that are on the top, the bottom, and between different columns and sections of the Torah. So there's a discussion, if you were to excise, right, you cut out those margins, but they don't have any Hebrew wording on it. According to this, they don't retain any the same level of sanctity, at least, as a Sefer Torah. And then in regards to the Bimos, it refers to what you put the Torah on. Rashi says it's not referring to the Bimas that we have here in Shul, but it's referring to the ad hoc ones that were made for the king of Israel to read from. I believe he's referring to Hakel. Okay. Amar Rav Shafti, Amar Rav Yochanan. Next halacha. Hagolil Sefer Torah Tzarek Shamidenu Al HaTefer. So this is actually a halacha. When people get Hagba, we don't do a good job teaching the halachas of Hagba. There's a number of halachas that you need to know. It's not just about being the strongest guy in the room. Number one, gentlemen, if you get Hagba, know that there needs to be at least three columns that are being exposed from the reading. But also, when it's being rolled up, this is a lesser known halacha, the stitching should actually be in the middle, because if, God forbid, the Torah itself were to separate, were to be pulled, there'd be tension, it would just rip on the seam, and that can easily be re-sewn, as opposed to being torn down the middle of the page. Okay? Now, V'amar Rav Shafti, Amar Rav Yochanan, HaGolil Sefer Torah Golo Mi Bechutz VeGolo Mi Bifnim. So this is, I read this over and over again. I was like trying to get, like, visualize what this is referring to. I think the way it's referring to it is like, it's a guy who's basically doesn't have a table per se. He's kind of just has the Torah here, and he's rolling it all on his own. So basically it's saying is, don't roll the Torah toward you, because then, God forbid, the other part of the scroll just going to fall out on the floor, God forbid. Roll the Torah like this so that the scroll is and you're holding the outer part of the Torah so it doesn't fall off of you as you're rolling it. That's what it's saying, which nothing, I'll just finish this section. Nothing very profound per se, but just important techniques. Ve'golmi bifnim. And when you're tightening it, you shouldn't go from the outside to the inside, because then you're going to be covering the letters. Rather, you should go from the inside. That way people can see the letters of the Torah for longer, because it's important that people see the letters that are in the Torah. That's a mitzvah. Yeah?
I'm just curious. You follow the wrong way of the scene, which makes sense. Suppose the page rips. Does that mean that the Torah is invalidated?
For the time being, unless they can fix it up.
Can you replace between the strips along the seams and replace that section?
I guess practically, it probably is a much harder job, I would imagine, to put those back together. The seam, all you got to do is just sew it. But that's why we want to avoid that kind of issue. Okay. Now, going forward. V'amar Rav Shafti Rav Yochanan, Asar Shekar B'Torah. Now, here's the thing. You'll see many times when someone gets, when we give out the kibbutim in shul, so a lot of the gentlemen, they want an aliyah, and then, they say, oh, I got glila, I got hagba, that's not as good as getting an aliyah. Truth be told, V'amar Shafti Rav Yochanan, Asar Shekar B'Torah, HaGadol Shem Gol Sefer Torah, Huglo noto schar kulan, right? So the greatest person in the room, or the greatest person who's participating, is supposed to get glila. Why? Because whoever is, because he gets schar kulan. He gets the reward of everyone who participated. Now the Gemara is like, wait a minute. It doesn't mean you actually, we're going to point out, it doesn't mean you actually take away. It's not like the people who did who got aliyah and got other honors didn't do anything. Darei Shuvin Levi Asar Shekar B'Torah Hagolot Sefer Torah Kibol Schar Kulan Schar Kulan Saga Daitach Elaima Kibol Schar Kneged Kulan. What it means is that the divine reward that one receives for glila is tantamount to all the other kibbutim that were performed in shul. So I should just clarify one thing. When it says glila back in the day, it used to be that one guy did a hagba and glila as a single job. So it's actually more referring to hagba, probably. Nowadays, though, the Mishnah Berurah says we give glila to a child who's, we'll tell Lloyd, not yet bar mitzvah, right? We're talking about not kids who aren't yet bar mitzvah. We'll give glila to them. The Mishnah Berurah says, in order to be mechanech them, it's a way of involving them. Glila isn't something that is a chiyav. It was kind of like a made up position later, so we give that to children. Children, of course, who are responsible and are well aware of the gravity of what they are involved in. Okay. But just the point, like, if you ever get like hagba or glila, don't be upset. Apparently, it's greater than getting an aliyah. Okay. V'amar Shafti Rav Yochanan. So there's generally an issue of nichush, which is you're not supposed to say, oh, you know, if a salamander comes out on Tuesday, then I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. You're not supposed to believe in omens. However, there are exceptions to this rule. This is sounds like a non sequitur. Basically, this Amora taught us something, and as the Gemara likes to do, it gives us a few more miscellaneous teachings from the same rabbi. So he said, how do I know that I'm allowed to make, when am I allowed to make use of a baskol, of hearing a heavenly voice? So this is based on, was it Yeshayahu? Yeah, and Yeshayahu Periklamid. So it's based on the verse there. Bahani Mili. But when is this, you know, how do I know if I'm hearing a divine voice from heaven? How do I know if I'm just, you know, hearing someone having a conversation in the next, you know, table over? So, Hani Mili, the Shama Kol Gavra B'masav, Kol Issa B'dabra. When you hear the voice of a man in the market, you know, in town, or I guess, you know, if you're like near a nail parlor or something, and you hear the voice of a man saying something, or if you hear a woman who's out in the fields where it's generally male workers who are working on the field. So since the voice is out of place, Hudamar hin hin, and not just that, it says yes or no, but it says yes, yes, or Hudamar lav lav. So because A, the voice is out of place, and B, it's giving a super affirmative statement, you're allowed to listen to that, and it's not considered a violation of believing in omens. Okay. Vamrav Shafi Rav Yochanan. Ah, this is a really good one here. Kol ha-kore b'lo ni'ima v'shona b'lo zimra olva katsu omer v'gamani nasati lam chukim lo tovim. Anyone who, we'll translate this way for now, who reads the Torah or learns Mishnayos, you know, without, you know, sometimes you go to a base medr somewhere, and you hear like people learning like yeshiva, you're like ay 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 ay. So it's saying here, if you learn mikra and you learn mishnayos and you don't do it with a niggin, so then terrible things. It's like, you know, you disregard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. You don't love Hashem's Torah because you're not doing it with a niggin as you're singing. Right? Even when we do gemara, we say zok the halakha gemara, frek tesis akasha. You know, you have like that little intonation that we use. So what if I don't use that? Then have I violated this pasuk over here? So. If you look at Rashi actually explains, what's it mean, the ima? What's it referring to? So Rashi says this refers to kagod tame hamikros. This refers to the cantillation. So what will happen is sometimes, which is going to happen for the next 3 days, I'm going to be at the 7:30 chakras minion, which means if Jonathan's not there, that means I'm going to be laning tomorrow. So hopefully he'll be there, because when he's there, he lanes with the cantillation. When I'm there, I quickly pick up the tikkun, and I just try to remember where the esnachta and the sof pasuk is, so it makes some sense. I can parse it right. So one's supposed to read it with the cantillation. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense, especially if you don't know where to parse it properly. And Mishnayos Tosos points out, Tosos says, this is the second last Tosos, so the way they would memorize Mishnayos, is by doing it with a tune. Especially back then, before they committed all of the Mishnayos into writing, they had to memorize it. So if you're not making use of these memorizing devices, so then you are causing the Torah to be forgotten. That's why it uses such harsh language. However, Abai says what? Because you're not good at singing, you don't know how to use, you know, you're tone deaf or something, whatever it is, so therefore the Torah has these terrible condemnations for you. No, that's not what the verse is referring to, something else. You have two Torah scholars who are residing in the same city. They nochin ze ezeh b'halacha, and they don't meet each other to discuss Torah. Aleim akasuv omer regamanina satiam chukim lo tovim shvatim lo yichyu behem. Then it's like they're saying, I don't really care about Hashem's Torah enough to converse with another scholar and to learn from them. Amar Rebbe Parnach, Amar Rebbe Yochanan. Kol ochi sefer Torah arum nikvar arum. Anyone who holds a sefer Torah directly with their hands, the parchment with their hands, meaning when it's considered, you know, naked, it's not dressed, so you're touching the parchment directly. So then you are punished that you will be buried without clothing as well. Which it's kind of funny, and not funny. Funny is a bad word for this, but you'll see certain places, not our shul, they'll do this thing where they unravel an entire Sefer Torah, and then everyone's like holding the scroll together. And I'm like, every time I see it, I'm like, oh no, don't do that, guys. This is Befeir Shu Gemara against it. There is a discussion in Nosei Kehem about some Minag Ashkenaz where there are Makel on it. I think it was the Magen Avraham possibly brings it up in the Shulchan Aruch there, but Pashtus says you're not supposed to do that. Arvasaka daituch, well, you're going to be buried without clothing. Ela emach nikvar arum below mitzvah. It means not literally, but it means that you're going to be buried without wearing the clothing of mitzvos. Below mitzvah sagadayach, what? Because I touched the Torah with my hands, all my mitzvos are now nullified, they're all for naught. Ela marabai nikvar arum below osa mitzvah. No, it means that it'll nullify, it'll neutralize the value of the Torah that you're studying and reading from it if you're not holding the Torah and treating it with proper respect. We'll just finish up the Gemara. Rav Yanai Bereid Rav Yanai Saba Meshmed Rav Yanai Rabba Mutav Tigal Mitpachas Vaygal Sefer Torah. So one should, as we do, we roll the Torah and we put the covering on it. One shouldn't roll the Torah in the covering. It's a more respectful way to do it. Finally, we are at the end. Rabosai Vayitav Ramoshes Modesha El Bnei Israel Mitzvasam Shukarasan Kol Echad VeEchad Bizmano. And so, we are finally told that, this is a quote from our Mishnah, that God had Moshe basically tell us to read the passages of the Torah that pertain to the proper time of year, which makes sense, right? Tana Rabbanan, a final brisa to end off the Masechta. Moshe tiklam Yisrael shu sholen v'dorshim b'yano shayom hilchus pesach v'pesach, hilchus atzeres v'atzeres, hilchus chag b'chag. That Moshe established the Jewish people that they should inquire, and they should also darshan. They should be interpreting and learning the halachos of Pesach on Pesach, as we'll be doing soon. Sorry to inform you. Shavuos on Shavuos, and Sukkos on Sukkos. Hadronach Ne'ir, Slikla Meseches Megillah. You are welcome to recite the Hadron with me if you so desire. So anyone who's, any gentleman here is in a Velus now, or saying Kaddish or something? We could, you know, might want to say the Kaddish. All right. So you want to say the final? You'll say the final Kaddish. You fine with that? You interested? Okay. You made the meal for us, so I feel like we'll give you that. Okay. So those who want to say the Hadron along with me, it's I printed it out. I'll try to read it slowly. I'll pretend I'm saying Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, and it'll work. We say the first part three times. Hadron Alach Meseches Megillah VaHadron Alon. Daita Allah Meseches Megillah, Daita Chalon, La Nisnashiminach Meseches Megillah, La Sisnashiminon, La Boma Hadev, La Boma Dase. Hadron Allah Meseches Megillah, Hadron Chalon, Daita Allah Meseches Megillah, Daita Chalon, La Nisnashiminach Meseches Megillah, La Nisnashiminah, La Boma Hadev, La Boma Dase. Hadron Allah Meseches Megillah, Hadron Chalon, Daita Allah Meseches Megillah, Daita Chalon, La Nisnashiminach Meseches Megillah, La Sisnashiminon, Loba Mahadein, Loba Oma Dase. Yeratzom of Anach Adonai Lehina Vaseinu, Shateso Raska Umanu Seinu Boma Zeus, Hey, Imoto Lola Haba, Hanina Bar Papa, Rami Bar Papa, Nahman Bar Papa, Hari Bar Papa, Abamari Bar Papa, Rafa Bar Papa, Raksh Bar Papa, Surcha Bar Papa, Ada Bar Papa, Dora Bar Papa, Haram Adonai Lehina is the resource of Fio Fios Amcha Basi Srol, Venia Kulanu, Anachnu Vitsitseinu Vitsetse Amcha Basi Srol, Kulano yodei shemecha v'lomdei sarasecha. Me'avai tzachak meni mitzvotzecha ki olam hili b'samen b'chukecha l'man lo evosh l'am lo ashkach b'kudecha kivam chiyisani. Baruch ata Adonai l'amdeni chukecha. Amen, 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 selva'ed. Modim anachnu l'lufanecha Adonai l'hinu v'avaseinu shesamta chalkeinu miyoshe beis ha-medrash v'osamta chalkeinu miyoshe kranos. Shana mashkim v'hei mashkimim Anu mashkim l'divrei sora, v'heim mashkim l'dvar betelim. Anu ameyim, v'heim ameyim, anu ameyim l'kam l'schar, v'heim ameyim v'einim l'kam l'schar. Anu ratzim v'heim ratzim, anu ratzim l'chaye olam haba, v'heim ratzim l'ver shachas, shnemar. V'atal him tori deim l'ver shachas, anshe damo mirma, lo yechitzu yimeyav ani eftach bach. Is there not another gentleman in the building?
Not that.
Someone downstairs? One sec. There's got to be someone in the chapel downstairs. You keep eating, guys. I'll be right back.
We need one more man.
Keep eating, guys. I'll grab someone from downstairs.